Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
As Claudette and Mariah both said today, this is the last message in our Triumph and Trial series. And I think we're due for a more cheerful video intro. So I'm looking forward to that. Also looking forward to Christmas Eve. You saw the announcement. Don't forget to send in your family greeting videos or your single greeting videos. We want to see as many people as we can this Christmas Eve service. So take a video on your phone or whatever. It doesn't have to be long. Send it to wade@crosslands.ca. And don't worry about beginnings and endings. We can sort of tidy it up. And today is the deadline. So by the end of today, otherwise we don't have time to put it all together. And then also, as you saw in the announcement, today is the deadline for the Christmas offering for Zimbabwe. And I think last I looked, we were sitting at about $6,600. I'd love to see it get up past that 10 so that we can match it with Crosslands Church's amount. And we're also, like, I do want to affirm, which we didn't say in the announcement, that this is over and above your regular giving. Otherwise, we give all our money away and then we can't pay our bills here. This is such a great opportunity to demonstrate generosity even when times are tough. Because as tough as they are for us, what we're going through doesn't compare to what is going on in other countries. And then finally, if you haven't heard, York Region is going into lockdown starting Monday. And so starting next week, our service will no longer be in person for the time being. Hopefully it's not as long as last time, but we don't know. And so the fortunate thing is that we already had contingency plans in place. So it's not like we didn't see it coming. We saw that the potential was there. We're prepared. The service is going to go on as normal. Just everybody will have to look at that online. And we're able to do the service we're doing now while accommodating the maximum of 10 people in a building, because we're going to like record part of it ahead of time so that we can still have the worship band and the kids lesson and all of that. So we are looking forward to that. We are also talking about doing sort of structuring a little bit differently in the future. And we'll see how that goes. We're always willing to try new things, and we want to be as accessible and engaging as we can for the people that are part of Crosslands Church, or even people that aren't, that are just watching in or tuning in. So that's it. I want to jump into the message. Don't have a lot of time today, but I want to start with a passage from Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. This is one of those letters that Paul wrote, and he writes it to... I always love the book of Philippians because it's like the good church. It's like there's very little for Paul to correct or complain about. And so he writes this in the very first chapter of that letter. He says, I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. He's talking about the good news of Jesus. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak out God's message without fear. Paul is writing from prison. I've never been to prison on the wrong side of the bars. I've been to prison many times, just not incarcerated. That is not a fun place to be. As bad as it might be in North America, you got to imagine first century prison. This is going to be awful. And yet Paul has this... He's coming across as inspiring. He's positive about this. He's saying, we're not just talking about a silver lining here. He's saying the gospel message is going forward, not in spite of this, but because of this, because I am in chains. So the people that are guarding him, they're a captive audience, right? He's a captive in prison, but they have to listen to him. But not only that, but the believers around him, they're being inspired by his trial. The early church was marked by three things within their culture. The first thing is they were known for being counter-cultural when it came to sexual integrity. So within Judaism, sexual integrity was a really big thing. But outside of that, in paganism, the Roman Empire, not at all. Marriage was about social standing or political advancement. But the practice of sexuality was kind of like whatever you can get. And certainly the more power you had, the more opportunity you had. But there was very little of viewing the other person as a valuable, we would say, created in the image of God. And so slaves were abused. They were taken advantage of. People in lower standing were taken advantage of. It just was not a thing. And these early followers of Jesus really stood out for that. It was unusual. The second thing that made them stand out is they were compassionate. Now, generally speaking, human beings are tribal. We take care of our own. But these Christians, they were crazy. They would take care of people that weren't their own. They would welcome the disenfranchised, the lower class, the slave, the people that they would rescue abandoned babies in a culture where if a baby wasn't wanted, it would be basically taken to the dump, and the Christians would go rescue it. When there was a plague, you know, what we're going through right now is not uncommon throughout history. Plagues were quite common, and people would leave. Right? There's a plague in the city and everybody would move out, like what happened in Italy early on, right? During this pandemic here. But the Christians would stay and care for people that were sick, even at risk to their own lives, which leads to the third thing. The third thing was they had no fear. And when Christianity was under like severe persecution, they were known for having no fear of death. And they would go to their death, not for stupid reasons, not trivially, but because of their allegiance to Jesus. If it was illegal to be a follower of Jesus, they might hide, but if they were caught, they wouldn't deny him. They had no fear of death. Paul celebrates the positives of his trials, and he demonstrates the supremacy of the message of Jesus, even in the face of death. He's writing a letter from prison. He's facing his potential execution, and he's saying, but this is what's good about it. We live in a culture that has been blind to the message of Jesus, increasingly so. And one of the reasons is because we have it easy. And even when we don't have it easy, we have it easy. Look at the situation we live in today compared to something like Zimbabwe that has been going through famine for the past few years pre-COVID. Now it's just worse. And so when we have it easy, people aren't looking for an answer to questions they don't have. They're fine. I don't know if you've had the experience before, but maybe you have people you know that are not followers of Jesus and you care for them and you want to share the message of Jesus, and it seems like your words are bouncing off a brick wall. They don't get anywhere. Your actions aren't recognized. They don't get anywhere. It just doesn't seem to get through. And there's a reason for that. The reason is this. It's from 2 Corinthians 4:4. It says this: Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. So you can say it, they're not hearing it. You can show it, but they're not seeing it. We just finished our Disciples of Course Abide. We're going to run it again in January, but we're also running the sequel, Grow Character, in January. And I'm gonna just rip something right out of there. There's something from the Grow Character lesson. One of the lessons says this: the enemy has blinded the minds of people who are not followers of Jesus. But there are three ways that the light shines through. There's three ways that God overcomes the blindness that comes over people's eyes. And I want you to listen carefully. The first one is this: through miracles. God still does amazing things. Now, I grew up in Pentecostal charismatic circles where that was extremes. It was almost like it's the only way God gets through the blindness. And so there was a leaning too far into the desire for miracles. And if you didn't experience a miracle, if you were struggling in trials, which we know now is very common, it's something we shouldn't be surprised about, as Claudette said earlier. If you were going through a trial with no miracle, there was the sense that there was something wrong with you. And that's just not true. It's not your fault. Paul himself, you know, I've been reading through the New Testament, and when we're in a sermon series like this, I see over and over and over how he's talking about his sufferings and his trials and his trials and his sufferings. It's like, it's in there everywhere. And it's really hard to ignore once you're attuned to that. Suffering does happen, but miracles also happen. And so sometimes somebody goes through, they experience a miracle and it gets through that blindness. The second reason is through the good deeds and the lives of followers of Jesus, which Claudette read this morning. Live such good lives among the pagans that even though they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. When we live good lives and do good deeds. Here's the third one. This comes from Grow Character. The blindness is overcome through how God sustains his believers through suffering. When we go through suffering, we've talked over the past few weeks about all kinds of purposes through our trials. grows our character, it grows our obedience. We have the opportunity to receive God's love in a way that transcends circumstance. But finally, when we live as followers of Jesus through suffering, it shines a light in the darkness. God has a purpose through this that has nothing to do with our comfort and has everything to do with his redemptive plan for the world. Just this past week, you know, early in the pandemic, there were a lot of deniers, like this isn't really happening. And a bunch of people that I knew would put on Facebook, do you know anybody that has had COVID? And I mean, a few months ago, like I knew my first person. And just this past week, two friends of mine on Facebook. One was a friend out in BC and her whole family had just gone through it. And she said, she was posting this for the first time, nobody knew. And she said, because of the stigma, she said, people look down on you as if you're living improperly, as if you've done something wrong because you didn't wash your hands enough or something. And this is the culture we live in where people are spying on one another. What are you doing wrong? What are you doing wrong? And if you get this disease, and some people have brought it on themselves, yeah, so a very few, and you look at them and you shake your head, but other people, it happens, but you're stigmatized. And then somebody else, part of our church, this past week. And they put a long post on Facebook about the things they didn't expect to experience. So it was one member of the family. And she said that she's facing the anxiety of, am I going to get it? Are my kids going to get it? What's going to happen? And now we're living separate in the same house. And there was no complaint there. Just, this is the way it is, and I'm trusting God. Very, very strong, well-written post. And just in passing, she said, you know, even if I run out of coffee cream, and they're a hardcore coffee addict, but they said, you know, I can't just run out and get coffee cream. And so I texted at one point and said, hey, you want me to drop some coffee cream off? She said, no, another neighbor came by and said they had just gone through COVID. And they dropped coffee cream off, and she said she had the opportunity to have a conversation on the porch, a long conversation on the porch. And when we go through trials, we have the opportunity to share with people who are looking like they weren't looking before. We have the opportunity to be a light in the darkness. Our culture has become increasingly apathetic and antagonistic towards God over the past few years. And part of our opportunity to be a witness for God is to shine his light during trials. We experience trials to grow in character. We experience trials to grow in obedience. We experience trials to receive and experience God's love directly, but also to partner with God in the furtherance of his purpose in the world, which has always been furthered through trials and suffering. We're Christians. We follow Jesus, who effected his message, effected his purpose in the world through his crucifixion, through suffering and trial. It's a spiritual battle, and it's won without using the weapons of the enemy, but in spite of the weapons of the enemy. Philippians 1:20-23 says this, Paul, for I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ. Remember again, he's in prison here. Whether I live or die, he says, for to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, it is better that I continue to live. This is what he's saying. When you go through trials, you live or die. Either way is winning. We don't lose as followers of Jesus. Yeah, we go through challenges, and they suck. And probably everybody here knows that, but we don't lose. Paul has two options, a continued mission or immediate in the presence of God. And trials can't prevent either one from happening. In fact, the trials make that happen even more. He even says this a couple of verses later, talking to the Philippians. He says, for you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. We don't understand that in our comfortable, complacent culture. We do not understand suffering as a privilege, but to identify with Jesus himself in our trials. Throughout our history of Christianity, certainly in the West, less so in other parts of the world, we can have a very narrow view of Christianity because we only see it through the lens of the West. But what happened very early on is violence got connected to Christianity in the West, not so much elsewhere. And so for centuries, Christians were wielding a sword for the purpose of power. And this is what I see today. I think that's turned into Christians waving a sign for the purpose of protest. Not just protest in general, but protest for self-interest. I have a hard time with that. We follow Jesus, who gave up his deity, gave up everything to take on humanity, to become a servant, even going to his death on a cross. And the model of that is that we live for others. And I see people fighting for self-interest. When Jesus was arrested, it says in Matthew, he says, I could call 12 legions of angels. I don't remember how much was in a legion. I think it was like 2,000 or 3,000. That's a lot of angels. And every time an angel shows up in Scripture, the first thing they say is, don't be afraid, which implies that coming across one is a scary experience. Now imagine thousands and thousands of them. Jesus says, I can, which means he has the right to, he has the authority to, and he has the ability to. And he chose not to. He willingly chose the path of trial. He willingly chose the path of suffering because that's what it was going to take. We live in an age today, and I mean like today, next week, 2 weeks, where we are living in instability, we're living in confusion. We can't see the future, our government can't see the future, and people don't know what to do. When we see things, we understand that as being light. When we don't, the metaphor that for that is darkness. In an age of confusion and instability, when the darkness is the darkest, we have the opportunity to shine light. The real challenge today is there's no end date. How many people thought we'd have been done by now? I think I mentioned this earlier. When they said we were going to be locking down, I thought, okay, we could do this for 2 or 3 weeks. No problem. That was April. And we're still going, and worse than last week, locking down. We don't know how long it's going to be. You can handle almost anything as long as you know the end date, how long it's going to be. You just aim for that, just another 10 days is going to be over. We have no idea. You know, hopefully with a vaccine coming, if people even want to take it, there's questions. There's a reason why many times in the Psalms, there's the question, how long? How long, O Lord? That pleading with God in trial and in suffering. But the longer the trial, the more opportunity we have as followers of Jesus to be the light in the darkness. The longer the trial, the more opportunity we have to grow in character, to grow in obedience, to receive and experience God's love, and to give an answer for people who last year didn't want an answer. They weren't asking the questions. Our trials is our witness to our Lord who suffered on our behalf. It's our time to shine. Now is our time to shine as followers of Jesus. Don't waste it. Don't lose your witness by whining. Don't undermine it by rebellion and insubordination. Now is our time to shine. People are starting to look. They're starting to ask. So how do we do it? It really takes daily prayer, daily ingestion of God's words, of the Bible. We talked about this in the last series, Abide. If you missed the series, hey, go back and watch it all over again because it's all on YouTube. But ask for the opportunity in trial. On a daily basis, how is my life a witness? Trials can suck the life out of you. The fortunate thing is, followers of Jesus, is there's an infinite supply of life coming to us from God's Spirit. You know what? Your groceries may run out. Your cable may go down. Your internet might go down. We're separated from people we love. But there's no end to God's Spirit if we're willing to receive him on a daily basis. All kinds of things we have counted on that don't bring life, but God's Spirit brings life to us. Are we operating in self-interest or service? Are we causing trouble, or are we demonstrating trust in our Lord, who brings us life that doesn't depend on entertainment or safety or the economy? A life that goes beyond what society offers to us. Now's our time to shine. Maybe you're not a follower of Jesus and you're watching today and you are at the end of your rope. I can't handle any more of this. I want to give you an opportunity to put your trust in Jesus. The one who went to the cross for you, not because you earned it, but because he loves you. And so we give the invitation every week. It's as simple as ABC. A, admit you can't do it without him, and you can't. I want to challenge you to face the reality today, to acknowledge the reality that on your own, you can't make it. And I'm talking about not just next week, but for eternity. Does your life stand up to the scrutiny of what true goodness is? And that's God, true goodness. But he loves you. And so he makes a way. He has made a way for us to have a relationship. That's the story of him sending Jesus. Jesus coming to take on all of our perfection or imperfection, take on of all of our innate self-destruction. You know, when you do the wrong thing, and you know it's wrong, but you can't stop yourself from doing it. Jesus came to solve that problem and to make the way for you to have a relationship with the God who made you to love you and to share eternal life with him. And so B is believe. Believe, trust. Give him your allegiance. Trust in him, because that is the route to true life, both now and forever. And C is to commit. Commit your life to him. It means you stop living your old life and you live the life that he has for you. I mentioned last week, somebody had texted and said, you could add D, do what he says. Yeah, that's the commitment. Do what he says. And this is a life that just saying yes to him is the starting point. The starting point to learning and living a whole new life. And I want to invite you to make that jump today. I'll lead you in a prayer. I'm going to pray, and I want you to make these words yours. You can repeat them after me if you're fast enough, or try to say them along, but make them your words. Pray something like this. Father, I thank you that you love me more than I can imagine. I admit, I acknowledge that I am not doing it on my own. I can't make it on my own. And so I'm going to choose to trust you today, to believe in the path that Jesus has laid out through his death, through death to resurrection. Even though I don't understand it all, I'm committing you to you today. I am choosing to say no to my old life and to say yes to your life. Thank you for welcoming me into your family. Amen. And if you're making this decision for the first time today, I want to challenge you to connect with us. This is a spiritual journey. It's a life decision that we are not designed to live on our own. We're designed to live together. Here at Crosslands Church, we're a community of followers of Jesus who strive to live out the Jesus life together. And so the best way to connect with us so we can help you with next steps is go to crosslands.live. and click the Follow Jesus button, and we'll give us your contact information. We'll get in contact with you and help you with next steps. I have we normally do text messages on a Sunday morning, and let me see. Oh man, I need reading glasses. Here's a text that came in. Prayer is always the way. Jesus consistently modeled prayer throughout his life on earth. Even as he died on the cross, he prayed. When we open up that door, or when we walk into the door that God opened for us, we have communion with him, communication with him. And prayer is the access point by which we receive his life. We receive his instructions. We receive the perseverance to move forward on a day-to-day basis. And if things are really rough, on an hour-to-hour basis. Here's another one. The lack of an end date is the awful and confusing part. Only steadfast faith can overcome this. Maintaining this faith is the challenge. Yeah, faith isn't belief. It's allegiance and trust. And so on a daily basis, trusting God, no matter what, as bad as it gets, Father, I'm trusting you. Because we can't see, but he can. And he loves us, so we can trust him. This is our moment to shine, Crosslands. We don't know how long it's going to be. We don't know if it's going to get worse. But we trust a God that is bigger than any of this. No matter what trials we face, he's bigger. He's capable, and he loves us. So we can't lose. Even if we die, we don't lose. That's the beauty of being a follower of Jesus. Let's close in prayer today. Father, I thank you that you are good. I thank you that you are capable and that you are trustworthy. And as we face a future that is uncertain, we know it's not uncertain to you. As our culture is reeling from the devastation to our economy, the devastation of this pandemic, we know you are trustworthy. Help us to be faithful to you as you are faithful to us, and to be a light that shines you to a society that's starting to ask questions. May we demonstrate Christ-like love and faith and perseverance, regardless of what trials we face, and take the opportunities to give a reason for the peace that we have every time the opportunity comes up. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.